the usual alley people. They looked like accountants gone mad. One of them reached out towards the begging bowl. Everyone has a conditional clause in their life, some little unspoken additional to the rules like, except when I really need to, or unless no one is looking, or indeed, unless the first one was a nougat. Soto had for centuries embraced a belief in the sanctity of all life and the ultimate uselessness of violence. But his personal conditional clause was, but not the hair. No one touches the hair, okay? Even so, everyone ought to have a chance. The attackers recoiled as he threw the bowl against the wall, where the hidden blades bedded themselves in the woodwork. Then it began to tick. Soto ran back down the alley, skidded around the corner, and then shouted, "Duck!" Unfortunately for the auditors, alas, he was just a tiny, tiny fraction of a second too late. Tick! Lutze was in his Garden of Five Surprises when the air sparkled and fragmented and swirled into a shape in front of him. He looked up from his ministrations to the yodeling stick insect who'd been off his food. Lobsang stood on the path. The boy was wearing a black robe dotted with stars, which blew and rattled its rags around him on this windless morning, as if he was standing in the centre of a gale. Which, Lutze supposed, he more or less was.
"Back again, wonder boy," said the sweeper.
"In a way, I never leave," said Lobsang. "Things have gone well with you."
"Don't you know?"
"I could. But part of me has to do this the traditional way."
"Well, the abbot is mighty suspicious, and there's some more amazing rumours flying around the place. I didn't say much. What do I know about anything? I'm just a sweeper."
With that, Lutze turned his attention to the stick insect. He'd counted to four under his breath before Lobsang said, "Please, I have to know. I believe that the fifth surprise is you. Am I right?" Lutze cocked his head. A low noise, which he'd heard for so long he no longer consciously heard it, had changed its tone.
"The spinners are all winding out," he said. "They know you're here, lad."
"I shall not be here long. Sweeper, please."
"You just want to know my little surprise."
"Yes, I know nearly everything else," said Lobsang.
"But you are time. What I tell you in the future, you'll know now, right?"
"But I'm partly human. I want to stay partly human. That means doing things the right way round. Please." Lutze sighed and looked for a while down the avenue of cherry blossom.
"When a pupil can beat the master, there is nothing the master cannot tell him," he said. "Remember?"
"Yes."
"Very well. The Iron Dojo should be free."
Lobsang looked surprised. "The Iron Dojo? Isn't that the one with all the sharp spikes in the walls?"
"And the ceiling, yes. The one that's like being inside a giant porcupine turned inside out?"
Lobsang looked horrified.
"But that's not for practice. The rules say..." "That's the one," said Lutze. "And I say we use it."
"Oh,
good, no argument," said Lutze. "This way, lad."
Blossom cascaded from the trees as they passed. They entered the monastery and took the same route they'd taken once before. This brought them into the Hall of the Mandala, and the sand rose like a dog welcoming its master and spiralled in the air far below Lobsang's sandals. Lutze heard the shouts of the attendants behind him. News like this spread throughout the valley like ink in water. Hundreds of monks, apprentices and sweepers were trailing the pair as they crossed the inner courtyards, like the tail of a comet. Above them, all the time, petals of cherry blossom fell like snow. At last, Lutze reached the high, round metal door of the Iron Dojo. The clasp of the door was 15 feet up. No one was supposed to open the door of the dojo who did not belong there. The sweeper nodded at his former apprentice.
"You do it," he said. "I can't."
Lobsang glanced at him and then looked up at the high clasp. Then he pressed a hand against the iron. Rust spread under his fingers. Red stains spread out across the ancient metal. The door began to creak and then to crumble. Lutze prodded it with an experimental finger, and a slab of biscuit-strong metal fell out and collapsed on the flagstones.
"Very impressed," he began.
A squeaky rubber elephant bounced off his head.
"Pick it!"
The crowd parted. The chief acolyte ran forward,